Will you please turn to Ephesians? The letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll read from verse 17 through verse 32. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye should no longer walk as the rest of the nation walk in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in understanding, estranged from the life of God by reason of the ignorance which is in them, by reason of the hardness of their hearts, who having cast off all feeling, have given themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greedy, unsatisfied lust. But ye have not thus learned the Christ. If ye have heard him and be instructed in him, according as the truth is in Jesus, namely, your having put on according to the former conversation the old man, which corrupts itself according to the deceitful lusts, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and your having put on the new man, which according to God is created in truthful righteousness and holiness. Wherefore, having put off falsehood, speak truth, every one with his neighbor, because we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Let not the sun set down upon your wrath, neither give room for the devil. Let a stealer steal no more, but rather let him toil, working what is honest with his hands, that he may have to distribute to him that has need. Let no corrupt word go out of your mouth, but if there be any good one, for needful edification, that it may give grace to those that hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which ye have been sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and heat of passion and wrath and clamor and injurious language be removed from you with all malice, and be to one another kind, compassionate, forgiving one another, as God also in Christ has forgiven you. And will you please turn to Colossians? Colossians chapter 4. Just two verses. Verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom towards those without, redeeming opportunities. Let your word be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so as to know how ye ought to answer each one. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again we want to thank thee for being so gracious to us in gathering us together unto thy name. And Lord, as we gathered here, our heart desire is, Lord, that thou mayest speak to us through thy word. We believe that thy word is living and operative. And we believe that thy word is life, that will deliver us out of death and into life and life abundant. So, Lord, we put our trust in thee and in thy word and in thy spirit. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. Now, we have been considering together on this matter of spiritual exercise and our daily life. We know that spiritual exercise is profitable for everything. Having the promise of life in this age, in the present time, and in the time to come. So our emphasis these days is on the promise of life in this day. The day that we live day by day. How we, through spiritual exercise, can receive eternal life. Now, we have been going through spiritual exercise and our personal life. We have also shared together our spiritual exercise and our church life. We have also shared together all these things. And this morning we would like to share together our spiritual exercise and social life. As soon as we are born into this world, as soon as we enter into this world, we become part of that world. We are not alone. When we are born, we are with our family. We have our parents. We have our siblings. There is a social life there. And as we grow older, we go to school, and we have our schoolmates, our classmates, our friends. And as we graduated and enter into society, we have our colleagues, our neighbors, and our friends. So in other words, we are all social beings. We are always with people. And we live with people. That is social life. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus, something very drastic happened. Because when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are born into the family of God. In other words, added to our personal life, our social life, our family life, we find another dimension, and that is church life. We become members of the body of Christ. And there is such an intimacy, such a oneness, such a closeness of life, spiritual life, life of God, the life of Christ in us, that it seems as if it began to displace or replace our social life. Now let me explain it. How did we live in this world before? Even though we find that everyone is different, but there is one that is common with all of us. The life that we receive from our parents is from Adam. It is a fallen life. It is a sinful life. It is flesh. It is self-centered. Now that's the nature of the life that we receive from our parents. And it is by that life that we live on earth. Whether in your personal life or in your family life, or in your social life, you live by that natural life. And you find that according to the Word of God, that kind of social life we live, it's not what God wants us to live. Because we are told in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, "And you, being dead in your offenses and sins, in which you once walked according to the age of this world." Now, how did we walk in the world? We walk according to the age of this world. And that is to the fashion of this world. And worse than that, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. Outwardly, we walk according to the fashion of the world. But actually, we are walking according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit that works now in the sons of disobedience. That is to say, the enemy, Satan, he is controlling the world. So even outwardly, we walk according to the current of the world. Actually, we walk according to his command. And therefore, he said, among whom we also all once have our conversation. That's the way we live, in the lust of our flesh, doing what the flesh and the thoughts will to do. And therefore, we're children by nature of wrath, even as the rest. So that's what we were, and that's how we live in this world, in our social life. And again, in Ephesians chapter 4, which we have just read, he said, walk in the vanity of their mind. Whatever we thought about, we live it. Darkened in understanding. We walk in darkness, estranged from the life of God. We do not have the life of God in us. Hardness of heart. Cast off all feeling and work or uncleanness and greedy unsatisfied lust. Now that was the way that we lived before in the world. But as soon as we believe in the Lord Jesus, something drastic happened. So it says here, but ye have not thus learned the Christ. When you have Christ Jesus in you, you find there is a drastic change. Why? Because the life within you is a different life. It is no longer the life of Adam. It is the life of Christ. It is no longer earthly. It is heavenly. It is no longer fleshly. It is spiritual. So now we have the life of Christ in us. And having that life, how are we going to live in this world? Can we still live in this world as we lived before? That is, still live by ourselves, by the way we think, by the way we want, self-centered. No. After we receive the life of Christ in us, our walk in this world should be drastically different. You remember when the children of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. The Lord delivered them by the Paschal Lamb. But at the same time, you find God commanded them, when they put the blood on the doorposts and they gathered within the house and ate the flesh of the lamb. Now why? What they are, when they are doing that, they have to put the sandals on. They have to gird up themselves. They have to take their stick. Why? Because they are ready to walk, to leave. So on the same night, you find the children of Israel march out of Egypt. Not only that, but the Lord took them through the Red Sea, in order that there was no return. They belonged to Pharaoh before. They served Pharaoh. But now they are out of Egypt. And they were baptized, as it were, unto Moses. And brothers and sisters, that is exactly what happened to us believers. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, it is not merely just having our sins forgiven and death, eternal death, pass away from us. No, we do not stay in Egypt. We have to march out of Egypt right away. Not after one day, after 1 month, after 1 year, or forever staying in Egypt. No. As long as we are saved from that eternal death, we march out of the world. Why? Because you find in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we are told, God has delivered us out of the world of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So when we are saved, at the same time we are delivered, saved from sins and death, delivered from the world. He has translated us out of this world, this world of darkness, and has put us in the kingdom of the Son of His love. So that's where we belong now. That's the reason why when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we need to be baptized. Otherwise, people will say, well, I'm saved. I have the life of Christ in me now. I have eternal life. So why should I be baptized? The water will not cleanse me from my sins. No. But we are commanded to be baptized. Why? Because baptism is our testimony. To respond to what God has done. He has translated us out of this world into Christ. And now with baptism, we respond with faith. Say, yes, we are to be baptized. Going into the water, showing that our old man was to be put to death. Under the water, buried, and out of the water resurrected into the newness of life. So that is what baptism really is. It starts us on another ground. It translated us out of ourselves, out of the world, into Christ, into His life. So, brothers and sisters, as soon as we are saved, our position has changed. So far as our relationship with the world is concerned, there is a total change. Now you remember in the prayer of our Lord Jesus, in John chapter 17, we call it the high priestly prayer. Our Lord Jesus is praying for His own, for those who are His. And in that prayer you'll find He mentioned the world in four different aspects. Number one, in John chapter 17, verse 6, He said, I have manifested Thy name to the man whom Thou givest Me out of the world. In other words, God has delivered us out of the world and give us to Christ. Now, why is it out of the world? Does it mean that we are no longer here on earth? No. The word here is cosmos. It is a system that Satan organized. Satan organized all the different aspects, areas of the world into a giant system. And with that system, the world, as we know it now, he tried to oppose God and His purpose. So here you find the Lord. God has already delivered us out of this world of darkness. We are not of the world. And then as you read on, you will find in verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, I'm no longer in the world, because He's leaving. But these are in the world. In other words, we who believe in the Lord Jesus, even though He has delivered us out of the world system, but we are still in the world. Now, what does that word world mean? It simply means the earth and all the things that God has created. And you find that in Psalm 25, verse 1. Psalm 25, verse 1. The earth is Jehovah's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So you know in Hebrew poems, they use repetition to show the emphasis. So the earth and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein, are the same thing. So the world has another definition. It is the earth and all those that dwell on the earth. And so far as this is concerned, our relationship with the world is we are still in the world. We have not been raptured yet. And then you follow John chapter 17 again, and you find in verse 14, I have given thy word, them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. We are delivered out of the world. We are yet in the world, and yet we are not of the world. In other words, even though we are still living on this earth, and because Satan is still the god of this earth, the prince of this world, so in a sense, we are still surrounded there, and yet we are not of the world. We do not belong to this world. You know, this world is represented by the things of the world. And as you find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 17, you'll find that love not the world, nor the things of the world. And the things of the world are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So in that sense, you find that we are not of the world. Even though we are still in it, and yet we do not belong to it. Because to befriend the world is enmity, enemy to God. And then you find the fourth aspect, and that is in verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, I also have sent you into the world. So here you'll find another aspect. We are delivered out of the world. We are still in the world. But we are not of the world. And yet, we are being sent into the world. Just as God has sent Christ into the world. In other words, now when we go into the world, we have a purpose behind it. It is not because we want to be a friend of the world, but because we want to testify to the world of our Lord Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, our social life began to have a drastic change. Formerly, the world is our friend. And it is our desire to befriend the world. But after we are saved, a drastic change come into our life. We are still in this world, yes. Not until the Lord will take us. But we do not belong to it. We have nothing to do with it. But that doesn't mean that that makes us antisocial. Not at all. We still have to go into the world and be a witness and testimony of the Lord Jesus in order to rescue those who are dead in sins and transgressions. So on the whole, you can see that this is what our position to the world is. And because God has given us such a position, and what should be our response? God has already translated us out of this world. And can we just continue to live our life in the world as the worldly people live? Can we continue to desire it? Because if we do, what will happen? We will find that, as James chapter 4 verse 4 said, if we be friend of the world, then we become enemy. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we are told, there is no communication. There is no fellowship. There is no sameness between those who are in the light and those who are in darkness, between those who have life and those who do not have life, those who are Christ and those who are not of Christ. There is no fellowship whatsoever. Now, brothers and sisters, to me, I feel this is something very basic. And if you really follow the Lord, you will find this is the way you go. Remember our Lord Jesus. When he was in this world, see how he lived in this world. He came into this world. He lived a life just like we live. But then you'll find that throughout his life, he lived by that divine life in him. The principle of his life is my Father's will. He doesn't live by the natural life. He walked the way of denying himself, take up his cross, and follow God. And this is the way that we have to do. So, brothers and sisters, after we are saved, there need to be a drastic change in our social life. It seemed to me that it's almost like church life takes the place of social life. Not exclusively in the sense, because we are still sent into the world to be a testimony to them. But I think it is not the will of God that we should still try to befriend the world, because that means we become enemies of God. How can we overcome the world? You know, the world, the things of this world are very tempting. So you'll find in John, 1 John chapter 2, he said, young man, you'll overcome the world. How? because the Word of God dwells in you. You know, the way to overcome the world is by the Word of God. Because the Word of God will tell us what the world really is. You know, in this world, the world is a deception. The only way we can see through the enemy's deception is by the Word of God. He will tell us clearly what the world is. And if we have the Word of God dwelling in our heart, then we have the wisdom, the discernment, and even the power to overcome the world. Look at our Lord Jesus when he was 30 years old. After he was baptized, the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness, and he was tempted by the enemy. Now, in those three recorded temptations, actually includes all the temptations that can come into man. Because Satan use the things of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to tempt our Lord Jesus. But with every temptation, you find our Lord Jesus overcame all these temptations by the Word of God. He did not try to argue with Satan. He did not try to reason out. He just quoted the Word of God that was in his heart. And by the Word of God, he overcame. So, dear brothers and sisters, especially the young people, will you please listen? Especially the young people, the only way to overcome the world is to store the Word of God in your heart and overcome the enemy by the Word of God. Unfortunately, we find in our days many believers, even though they seem positionally the Lord has delivered them out of the world, but in experience. They are like the children of Israel. God has delivered them out of Egypt. But in the wilderness, they were tested. And you find that they still, in their heart, they long for Egypt. They want all these smelly things that can find in Egypt. And because of that, their whole generation died in the wilderness. They were not able to inherit their inheritance. And in the same manner, you find God's people today had the danger of the same thing. God has delivered us out of the world. But if we still, with our hearts turned to the world and the things of the world, we may not be able to inherit our inheritance. God has promised us a kingdom. God has promised us an unfailing, undefiled, incorruptible, corrupt inheritance, reserved for us who believe in heaven. And only those who, like Joshua and Caleb, they have a different spirit. And because of that, they were able to enter into the promised land. So, brothers and sisters, after we believe in the Lord Jesus, there need to be a drastic change. Now, probably, some people say, are we to be that unsocial? And even when you read the first letter to the Corinthians, you'll find those Corinthian believers, they like social life. So you'll find they, in the old days, you know, their social life is all done in the temple of the idols. The best food will be there. The best time of social life is spent in the temple. And so they want that social life so much, so they reason it out and say, well, we have only one God, and these idols, they are no gods. And if there are no gods, then we can go to the temple and eat the temple food, because it means nothing. But those who are weak in their conscience, they were stumbled. And the Apostle Paul said, now, if I eat meat and stumble my brother, even though it is legal, I won't do it. That's not love. So you find it is very natural among God's people. We still cling and long for a social life. Now, God does not want to deprive us of social life because we are social beings. But he does want to replace it with church life. It is on a higher plane. It is on a spiritual realm. But so far as the world is concerned, our only relationship with the world is we are sent into the world with a reason. And the reason is that we may be a witness and testimony to them. So there is a kind of friendship you do find in the Bible. Now, we said last time that friendship is replaced by fellowship, because friendship is on the basis of the natural life, and fellowship is founded on the spiritual life in us. But now you find in the scripture there is an exception. It's a different kind of friendship. You remember God called Abraham his friend. Abraham is the friend of God. And God even treated Moses as a friend. He talked to Moses as a friend. And when our Lord Jesus was on earth, he calls his disciples his friend. In Luke 12, verse 4, he said, my friend, do not be afraid. If people can only kill your body and not your soul, don't be afraid of him. And he's talking to his disciples. And John chapter 15, he said, you are my friends because you obey my commandments. And he shared his heart with them. And strangely, he even called Judas his friend. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 50, when Judas came with the group to seize our Lord, Judas came up and kisses him, and the Lord said, my friend, what are you doing? And even John the Apostle, in his old age, when he wrote 3 John, he said, the friends greet you, and greet the friends for us. So, brothers and sisters, there is a friendship in the scripture. It is not a friendship with the world, but it is a higher type of friendship. In a sense, it is a kind of condensation of the higher one towards the lower one. Just like God condescends himself and take Abraham and Moses as his friend. Just like our Lord Jesus take his disciples with him and call them friends. And he share his heart with them. And even he is a friend of sinners and of test gatherers. Even called his enemy friend. And that shows his love and condescension. And that kind of friendship is permitted in the Bible. Now finally, we have, as we live on this earth, we have a personal life to live. Very important. We cannot forget our personal life and try to hide ourselves among the crowd. And we have a family life to live. We have a church life to live. We have a social life to live. And all these aspects of life are very demanding. Almost as if it demands our whole time. And we have only 24 hours. And of these 24 hours, we need rest, we need sleep. So how are we going to manage and to live a balanced Christian life with all these demands upon us? I remember when I was in China. Now among us, we emphasize the church life so much. We have meetings every night. And because of this, we neglect our family life. That's the problem when we were in China. But when I came to this country, I saw the reverse of it. I saw that among Christians, they sacrifice church life because of family life. Family life is very demanding, especially in this country. Not only the school of demanding, the activities after school is also demanding. And the parents feel obliged to cater to them. And because of that, children are more important than Christ. Family life is more important than church life. It's exactly the opposite. And that's what I discovered in this country. Now, I do grant that it is very difficult to apportion the right time to do the right thing. And that's the reason you'll find in Colossians chapter 4, it says, walk in wisdom. You need wisdom to really walk before the world and redeem opportunities. Redeem your time, that your time may not be wasted, will be used according to the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters, I do know that there is a need of wisdom. Now, if we need wisdom, in James he said, if you need wisdom, pray, and with faith, believing, and God will give you wisdom to do it. So I say, brothers and sisters, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Every one of us, no one can decide for you. To live all in all these areas, remember one thing only. You live by one life only. You live by the life of Christ. Whether it is your personal life, you live by the life of Christ. Whether it is your family life, you live by the life of Christ, not by your own life. Whether it is church life, you live by the life of Christ, not your own life. Whether it is a social life, you live by the life of Christ, not your own life. Now, that is for sure. And if this is sure, then how to divide the time, apportion the time? That takes wisdom. We do not have the wisdom. We are lopsided. God alone has the wisdom. He is the source of wisdom. Therefore, we need to pray and ask the Lord to show us how should we use our time to fulfill our responsibility in all these areas. And if we pray and believe it, the Lord will show us. In a sense, you find that it is not something fixed. There is no rule, fixed rule, for everyone. I cannot tell you have to have 10 hours, 5 hours for this, 2 hours for that. No, no one can decide for you. And at the same time, as you grow, it changes according to the need of the time, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So it is something that is not legalistic, something that is changing. But as you really seek the Lord, He will show us how to do it. Think of our Lord Jesus. When He was 12, He went to the temple. He became a son of the law. And He began to feel that it is His responsibility to mind the things of His Heavenly Father. So when His parents left, He reminded the temple. Then after 3 days, the parents found Him. And they were so worried. And the Lord said, "Why? Why are you worried? I'm the son of the law. I have to attend my father's business." But did He stay in the temple? Refused to go home? No. He obeyed His parents, earthly parents. He went home with them. In other words, here you'll find He knows exactly how to use the time. As a minor, even though in his heart, he would rather stay in the temple, but as a minor, he feels it is the right thing to do to return with the parents and obey them. And we find that he stayed in home until he was 30. Why? It seems as if Joseph must have passed away early, because Joseph was much older. So as the so-called firstborn one, he has responsibility with the family. Probably he supported the family. He was called the carpenter, model carpenter. Now, was it a waste of time? No. Because when he was responsible for his family, he was serving God. It is the same life. And then when he was 30, probably his earthly brothers and sisters are all growing up. So his responsibility with the family was over. And then you find he stepped up and devoted himself completely to ministry. But even so, you find when he was on the cross, he was still taking care of his earthly mother. He committed his earthly mother to his disciple John. So brothers and sisters, you find our Lord Jesus, while he was on earth, he knows how to use his time. You know, he had compassion on the people and how he preached to them, how he served them, And he had almost like no time to eat. And how he tried to get his disciples to have some rest, you know. And how he rose early in the morning so that he can went into the wilderness to pray. He knows how to divide his time. To do exactly what his Heavenly Father wanted him to do. And life is not static. It is living. So brothers and sisters, I do believe that if we have that heart before the Lord, we know our position. And we live by the life of Christ in us. And we do come to the Lord to ask for wisdom. He will show us what to do. It is a matter of life, not law. It is grace. And as you are doing that, you have peace in your heart. So, brothers and sisters, spiritual exercise is a necessity. You will not be able to have that wisdom unless you exercise your spirit and pray. And you will not be able to live in any area in the way that God wants us to live unless you live by the life of Christ in you. Just like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And that is the result of spiritual exercise. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we do commit these scattered words into your hand and pray, Lord, that if it pleases thee, that thou will use thy word to deliver us, that we may live a life according to thy will, that we may grow up spiritually, we may be useful vessels in our hand. We ask thy blessing upon each and every one in thy precious name.